Good morning. It's great to see you online. Thanks so much for joining us today. We've got the iPad here because we hope to interact a little bit more with those that are online with us today. But we are grateful, whether you're in the room or online, that you're with us today. Wrapping up a series today that we've been in called Beyond, What You Don't Know You're Missing. And man, I love that subtext, that byline there, because I mean, some of us do have FOMO where we hate to miss out on anything. And so what are we missing? And so hopefully you've been encouraged through this series, and you know, we've talked about church and evangelism and beyond religion and beyond me even, and beyond hospitality. And today we want to look at something that's beyond work.
Right. We don't think about it real often.
No.
Up to this point, we've been kind of in the churchy realm.
Yeah.
And now we're going to the rest of your lives, yeah, where you spend more time probably than any other place.
Yeah, and if you're retired, this is still a message for you today. It's not like you're going, well, I can check out. Because
Right. Really,
whether you're in a 40-hour-a-week job or you're retired, you spend a lot of your time doing something. Mm-hmm. And what is that? And so today we just want to kind of dive in and say, okay, what is beyond work look like, and how can God use us in that? And so we wanted to start with just kind of an easy question. And if you're online, we want to see this chat window light up for us, okay? But in the room, you know, just shout at us. We don't care. Here's a question. How many different jobs have you had? How many different jobs have you had? I had to write mine down right here. Can y'all see that? Like, that's my list right there. It goes A through L. How many is that?
That would be
a bunch.
12. 12. M is 13.
How many jobs have you had?
Two.
Six. You're too young to have had six. How have you had six?
A few of them only lasted a week.
He's like 13. Isn't he like 13 or something like that? Man. Who else? Anybody have more than five jobs in your life? Oh, yes. Amen. More than 10 like me? And when we say jobs, kind of careers, different paths. Okay, so we're a few and far between here. I don't see any. Oh, 6 and 10 coming in,
yeah,
online. Yeah, very nice. So here's a follow-up question. Go ahead, I'll let you ask.
What is the strangest or most interesting job that you've ever had? So I'll go first while you're thinking
you
of that.
You had a few to pick from.
I've had a few. Well, so when I went to Jesus School, Jesus Camp, I'd like to call seminary, I got odds and ends to fill in the time. So I was a recess attendant to Luke Clark when he was
right.
In fifth grade.
Yep.
And he called me recess teacher. And then when I came and became the youth pastor, he's like, wait, that's my old recess teacher. And I'm like, oh yeah, this just got weird for you. I've been a vacuum salesman.
Yep.
I've been a custodian many times. I enjoy cleaning things.
The vacuum salesman thing has come in handy here at church a few times as we've had to repair some vacuum cleaners.
Yep.
So, you know, if you have a vacuum cleaner on the fridge, just drop it off in front of his office. He'll be glad
Nothing
to take
I
a look at it.
Nothing I love more than pulling tons of hair out of a vacuum roll.
That's funny. I was thinking, you were surprised at one of mine.
You have a job that I thought... I'm surprised that you made it more
so
than
after
a week.
My freshman year of college, there was a big manufacturing plant in town called Verco. They made school furniture. They hired a lot of college students, and so I needed a three-month job. So I worked on the final assembly line making school furniture in the third shift.
I imagine it went as well as I Love Lucy.
Yes, about that. I told Ryan this morning, I said, we had like, you know, knives and stuff. I did have a few cuts and things. And then they had this huge industrial hot glue gun because we had to box everything up after it came off the assembly line. You boxed it on pallets and got it for the forklifts to take off. One night I was just aggressive with this. The hot glue was up here in this vat with a hose coming down. And I'm just spraying glue, and I missed the box and like sprayed my legs, and that was exciting. So, you know, but I was a survey poll holder for a while.
How did these not kill you? That's so against your grain.
With a machete and like cutting brush and stuff. I was also in a phone company billing room at one time where it sounds impressive, right? No, they brought the paper bills down to us. This tells you how old I am. And we had to put them in a machine that sorted them all, and we got them and put them in the postage bins to go out. How exciting is that?
Not. We got a few on the chat.
Oh, what do we got here?
I saw a Sears photographer at Sears. You can imagine taking pictures of little kids. easy job.
Fish fryer at the Iowa State Fair.
Ooh.
Ooh, cleaning ovens at a hospital.
No, thank you.
Hot walked racehorses, as in walked laps around the barn after racing.
Ooh. Okay. What about you guys?
What about
any
you
odd
guys?
Jobs? None. You guys are like, those are all better than mine.
We should have gone last.
Yeah.
This will just show you, most pastors are probably like us, couldn't hold a job, number one. Number two, we're willing to do anything.
None of them had a microphone, so we weren't interested.
We're not happy at all. That's funny. Oh, man. So, as you can see, we're talking about jobs. And what's interesting about work and our jobs is often we're looking for fulfillment there. Mm-hmm. We're looking for that job to provide something for us, this like deep-seated desire. And I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, because it's ingrained in us. Statistics show if you were to offer people, say, you can ask God any question at all, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, any religion, the number one answer is always, what is my purpose? What am I here for? That's across the board. What everybody is looking for is to try to figure out what I'm here for. And because the job is where most people spend most of their time, we start tying these two things together. We say, my job is my purpose. And so that's why when you go introduce yourself to somebody, you're like, I'm Ryan, I'm a pastor. Like, we follow our name, our identity, with who I am is my job. And we tie these two things so closely together.
So how many of you would admit that you kind of look to your job sometimes to define purpose? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And here's what's interesting about work. You know, Ryan and I sit here, and we are pastors, and I use air quotes because...
If you know what we actually do Monday to Friday.
Yeah, you might not say we're pastors, and that's fine. But sometimes when you think about work and we think about fulfillment in work, sometimes there's this tendency to look at what we do and go, well, then they're doing God's work. Mm-hmm. They are called. We like that word. We're going to use that word a lot today.
Yeah.
Calling. You have a calling to your job. And you know what? I'm just an actuary. I'm just an accountant. I got you there, Garrett, didn't I? I'm just, you know, and we put that expression. And I admit that I struggled with that before I became a full-time pastor for a long time. Because I graduated Bible college, I expected to go into full-time ministry because I was called, and the ministry jobs I wanted weren't available because I was a bit picky. And so it caused me to have to jump into banking, and I was a teacher for a few years and did some things. And I was probably in banking 5 to 6 years before I was able to kind of break down that sacred, secular
right.
thing that exists, the divide, that barrier that exists, thinking, well, I'm just a banker.
Yeah.
You know, this job doesn't matter. I'm just putting money in the hands of the corporate greedy, man. And so how could this matter? And I lived in a state for a long time of just incredible discontent because I thought, what am I doing here? This doesn't matter.
Yeah. As you've been talking, you keep saying just. I'm just in this.
Just,
and that's how people feel. And it's like, well, either you're called and you're holy and more pleasing to God, or you're not called.
Yeah.
And what we're here to, we all have a calling. If we redefine calling, we all have a calling of sorts. It's because it gets messy when we say, well, you're only called if you're a pastor or a missionary or an
evangelist.
But
we should qualify this. We realized as we were preparing for this that we've really never shared our calling stories to you. How did we end up here?
It's not as romantic as you think.
Oh,
it's not like we had this moment of prayer.
I was walking down the road one day, and
a light
hit me.
Yeah.
And a voice audibly spoke to me and said, Brent,
right. You
should be a pastor. No, let me just tell you what happened. I finally got content in banking. The last half of my banking career was doing really well, loved it, had great favor with the owners of the bank and the executives and everything. It was great. And then I had an opportunity to come here, and I prayed about it, and I thought, okay, this seems like an open door, an opportunity I need to walk
through. For those of you who don't, he came here as a youth and worship.
Yep. That was my role for 4 years. And I was pleased as punch to have that role. I wasn't looking for anything else. I had no greater ambitions. My goal was to help the senior pastor succeed in whatever way that was. And then 4 years after me being here, he quit. To which I thought, you called me up here. He and I had worked together in Arkansas. You called me up here to work with you, and now you're leaving me. You suck. You know? And in that moment, though, I'm just like, I don't know what, I'm looking at jobs. I'm like, well, I'm going to go back in. Is there banking jobs in Des Moines? I'll just go back into banking. Maybe I'll go back to school and get another degree. Who knows? And then these crazy folks here at Ashworth pop in my door one day, and they're like, oh, by the way, we're going to need a pastor. We need to figure some things out first, but would you be our interim starting Sunday?
So really, you got the job because you already had an office.
I had an office. These crazy folks had heard me preach 4 times in 4 years. I'm not kidding. And they're like, well, just start next week. Awesome. And then 6 months later, they come and they're like, we'd like you to be our lead pastor. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Okay, sounds good. And that's my story of calling as your lead pastor. It's not romantic. It's not like the Damascus Road experience. And yet sometimes there are pastors that have that, and that's great. But for you, your experience was kind of the same.
Mine was just a lengthy road of just getting really bored with my job and finding myself like reading the book of Hebrews at work because I didn't have anything else to
New
do.
New Testament?
Yeah.
You, really?
It was tied to the old, and we're going there next week, so look out. I love that book. but like it started there. I was hanging out with a pastor, and finally one day his wife just looked at me and is like, so when are you going to realize you're going to end up in ministry? And I was like, I'd never thought about that at all. But, you know, one thing led to another, and I decided to go to school, but just kept working odd jobs while I was doing seminary, because I didn't have a cool Bible degree like you did. I was an engineer. So that's how we got there. But at the end of the day, you know, how you fell into whatever your job at is probably like us. You didn't have a moment where you're like, I'm supposed to be a bookkeeper. You're like, it's a job. I need a job. I like who's there. And it's a fit.
And so what happens for us, though, is we get these visions of grandeur for the word calling. Mm-hmm. And we assume that our job is supposed to be our calling, and it has to be. And if it's not, it's not right. And we need to move and pivot and do something else or be dissatisfied in the job. And so we wanted to just kind of jump in and say, what's the difference? What's the difference between a job and a calling? And there are very big differences that we want to point out.
Yeah. So when you look at this list on for a job, you guys understand, a job, yeah, there's some satisfaction, but primarily we work it because there's a paycheck at the end of it. And what you're doing is for the company. You are doing what the company needs. They're saying, we have this big goal. You're a cog in the machine to help them produce what they want to produce. So when they put out a job description, it's not a, so what do you have to offer? It's a, this is what we need. Can you do the job? But when you look at calling is based on you and how you can glorify God. So it should be something that brings you joy and satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the purpose of it is it's for God. It's not for a company. It's not really for you. It's how you can bring glory to God using the giftings that God has put inside of you. Yeah. And sometimes we work a job that's here, and we have a calling, though, that we feel that's over here. Yeah. And typically, to feel like you have satisfaction in that calling, you have to work at a not-for-profit, you volunteer at the church, you find different ways outside of your job to do things that are a blessing to you and that you know you're using your gift set.
But we would say that for the majority of people that exist and work in the world, the sweet spot doesn't exist, where your job and your calling overlap.
Right.
Now, I will say that for me, I think I sit in that sweet spot because this is what I feel like I was made for. But it took me a long time to get to that comfort level of being there. So what do you do when you're not in the sweet spot? When you work a job that you're like, yeah, it's fine. I enjoy it. It's good. But you would never say, no, this is my calling. What do we do with that? Is there a way to live with satisfaction in that not so sweet spot? And can we make that the sweet spot, a sweeter spot?
Maybe? Right. And there's a few verses when we look at scripture that talk about work. There aren't a ton here, but there are, I mean, it does recognize that we spend a lot of time doing stuff, and sometimes it's doing things that overlap with what you're gifted to do and what you enjoy doing, but sometimes it's not. But no matter the situation, We see like in Colossians 3:23, where Paul tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So even though you have a job and you're working for the company, he's saying, yes, you're working for the company, for the paycheck, but work at it as though you're working for the Lord. Give it all that you've got. Make this something. Don't just be like, ugh. I hate this job. I'm going to do the bare minimum to collect my paycheck.
Or even worse, they've done something to make me mad, so I'm going to make them pay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I've ever done that.
Passive aggressive work? Yeah, me neither.
I'm not going to say anything. Next verse, no. No, but it is. We do have to remember that, you know, yes, I always like to remind people that, you know, sometimes we look at work and we think work is a punishment. Stupid Adam and Eve ate that fruit and punished us all. But that's not true. Because when you jump back to Genesis, you see that we were created to work. Mm-hmm. We were created. Doesn't mean you're created necessarily to do the job you're doing, but you were created to work. And there is some purpose and fulfillment that we find there. Yeah. And so we need to find, as Ryan was just saying through that passage, how to do that to bring God glory. Because everything we say, everything we do, how we live our lives in this world represents and reflects on who we say we're following. And so if we do the passive-aggressive thing, it is a reflection. And that's, I think, how Christians get a bad name, is because there's enough of them out there that claim the name of Jesus but don't work as if they're working for God. They put in, you know, as little effort as possible. They steal company time. They do whatever, you know. And at the end of the day, it's like it is a poor reflection on Jesus. So,
and I think part of the reason people can do that, they don't understand the purpose of the job. And you were talking about how work does, it's not just punishment. It does have a purpose, and that's what we read in Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So God knows we all have to work, and so he uses our work to move things forward. We have to remember, God always has a plan. He's got an end game for how everything is moving forward, and he uses you at your job to move the ball forward. Even in the tediousness of your job sometimes, even in the rub of the interaction with coworkers who can be challenging, he even uses those opportunities. Right, a conversation about work with my boss, this is amazing.
Yeah, keep talking about the annoying coworker.
But fine. I mean, God uses all of that for his purpose. And when we see that our work has a purpose beyond ourselves and beyond our paycheck, then we start to say, okay, I can put my fuller heart into this.
And as Ryan and I were preparing for this message today, we realized that when you turn to Scripture, it really is hard to build a theology of work based on what little is said. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. It, you know, to for us to maybe say, we're going to write a book on the theology of work in the New Testament, man, we'd be stretching some things far and wide to make that happen. However, it doesn't mean that we can't look at the Bible and realize the things that were taking place. So, for example, you know, we could look at the example of Jesus. It wasn't like he just dropped on the scene at 30 years old and was like, okay, now I'm in ministry. It wasn't sitting around Mary and Joseph's basement watching Netflix all day until he was 30. You know, he grew up as a young man, born, grew up, learned a skill, learned a trade, and so we can assume from that that he actually worked, that he had a job, that for many, for 30 years or 20 years of working life, from 13 to 30, 17 years, he was actually doing something. He was fulfilling his purpose. And not just Jesus. We do get an example in Paul. Even.
Yeah. We think of Paul. He's a great missionary. He spread the gospel all over the Mediterranean. And we'd like to be like, wow, he had the miraculous calling to ministry. I mean, talk about an amazing guy. And he's so tense. He was a tent maker. There were moments where he wasn't going around telling everybody about Jesus, but he was sitting on a rock with a big piece of fabric, sewing tents, fixing holes, doing that stuff. But I'm sure that Paul did not, when he was so intense, be like, oh, I hate this job. This is the worst thing. I'm doing this for a paycheck for the man so that in after hours I can tell people about Jesus. I can imagine there were other people that were doing it with him, and he was not wasting that moment to tell them about Jesus, to talk with them about God and what God had done in
him. Yeah, and
him.
So what we see in Paul is that what we hope that you guys see from this rambling conversation here today is that you too can be like Paul, that you can use your job, whether you love it or hate it, whether it's your passion or not, to fulfill your true calling, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And how does that work? Well, your job provides for things that allow you to fulfill your calling. For example, it gives you the money to do what you might be passionate about. For example, I see my friend Scott Oswald in the room, and I remember before COVID, when we were able to travel around the world, that man has been on mission trip after mission trip. Why? Because that is his passion, and that is his gifting, and that is his calling. And he would have been the first person to tell you that the reason I work is provide for my family, but also for me to be able to go to Mexico, to Ethiopia, to, you know, Crow Creek, to wherever, fill in the blank for all the places he's been. And he always viewed his job as an avenue to be able to get to that calling. And sometimes I think we miss that as if the money is, they pay me. No. That's an important aspect. Maybe that's what you need in order to fulfill the calling.
Right. Additionally, by having a job, you're typically in connection with other people, coworkers. The one thing that I do not have the opportunity to do that all of you who don't work in a church do is to tell your coworkers about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've tried, but they're like, Ryan, we get it. We don't need for you to get us saved.
Day.
But I'm assuming...
What did she say? I missed
that. I didn't hear it.
She said something funny. What was that, Amy?
I said, you still do it.
Jesus from the Old Testament. Let's go. So, but you all, I'm assuming you don't work in a place where everybody knows Jesus. You all have opportunities where people can come in and maybe, you know, talk about their partying or whatever, or talk about their struggles in life, their struggle in relationships, and you can speak into that. Yeah. You all are out among people who need to hear about Jesus. We just heard a story last week by somebody who's like, I don't love my job, but sometimes I feel like there's a reason I'm here, because when somebody starts crying, they say, hey, I don't do tears. I need this person to come right now to talk with you. Because their reputation is that they're good with people.
And to be fair, that is they're pastoring at that point.
At that point, they
are
being the pastor,
to that
person.
In that workplace, right, that evidently everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And when they're like, oh, this person has a need, they need to talk. I mean, to be fair, people aren't calling us up for that.
No, not
they
that
know
moment.
Who that is in our world, you know. And we know that too. So, but I mean, I think that's so significant. And you are right. We, by not having a secular job, there is a limit to what we can do. We try to get out and meet neighbors and, you know, do things in the community. But you guys are on the front lines. You guys have the access, the exposure that honestly we'd sit up here and wish we had more of. And we're struggling to find ways to make that happen because, as he said, this guy already knows Jesus. I can't tell him about him anymore.
Yeah, a third thing that the job gets you is it gets you exposure to other things, to other networks, to other ideas for how maybe you could do ministry over here. Mm. Or, oh, I heard about a ministry there. Hey, Ashworth, I found out there's a ministry here. Can we connect with there? Yep. You know, the job creates a network. And when we all, as the family of Ashworth, recognize the networks that we all have within our jobs, it's amazing how God can work that together. And that's how we see his big purpose comes together. These things happen all the time, and we can say, well, that's a really cool coincidence. Or we can say, that's God using his family together and all of our networks through all of our jobs to meet needs across the city and the world.
Yeah, and which leads us to an exciting announcement we have today, because one of the things in helping you fulfill whatever calling it might be is that you guys know every year we do what we call Missions Emphasis Month. Year before last, we bought a van
in October.
Is that October?
7 months ago, yeah.
My COVID time has messed up my brain. I can't remember. But this year we're going to do something a little differently, because it's missions emphasis and we want to do something here in our world. What we're going to do is, beginning in September, we're going to open it up for you guys to present ideas that we as a church can fund in our community. We're calling it the incubator. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to open, we'll have an application. It won't be complicated. It'll say, mm-hmm. what are you wanting to do? How are you going to do it? How much money do you need? Mm-hmm. And then as we get to October, when we normally raise money, we'll find two or four or five or how many ever ideas we need to, and we'll figure up how much money that is, and we'll say, okay, we need $10,000, $20,000 to invest in these ideas, mm-hmm. and then we're going to release you to go and fulfill that.
To do your calling, to take what God's put in your heart to make a difference in the world. Sometimes if money is the only thing that's stopping you, or you're like, you know, I need a team, or I need some people, or maybe a little strategic thinking to make it better. Look, that's why we are a family, and we are a team and a network, and we can take your calling and maybe connect you with somebody else who has a calling and a gift set, and we can fund that vision with the money all of our jobs have cumulatively given to you. Yeah. To make an enormous difference in our community. That's what we want.
And we're excited about this. We'll be giving you more details as we get closer, but this is going to be awesome to help us kind of lean into the needs in our community, mm-hmm. but also to help you fulfill, you know, whatever move that God has placed on your heart, you know, to help you jump and go out and do that. So as we wrap up here, you know, the main point for today is just simply this. We want you to be able to find and fulfill your calling in whatever job you're in. Maybe you sit there and you go to work on Monday and you do feel like I used to in banking for many years and you think, why does this matter? What point is this? Let me just tell you, it matters. What you do matters. It matters to you. It matters to God. It matters to us. And I don't believe you're there by accident. I think that as long as you are there, then there is a purpose for you to be there. There's people around you. There's something for you to do, even if it's just doing the best job that you can for the most ungrateful boss. It doesn't matter. You can do that and find and fulfill your calling through the job you're in.
But on the flip side, yes. Brent, are you saying if you absolutely hate your job that you have to stay in
it? No. If you don't like your job, quit.
Right.
Find something else. I had a job one time. I was in lending at a bank, and it was construction lending, which sounds really fun and sexy. It's not. It was boring. I had no authority to actually. I had like $50,000 lending authority. Any of you build a house for, even as old as I am, anybody build a house for under $50,000? So every time I had to go to my boss and get approval, so that made me mad. Number two was it was a 5-point speech for everybody that came in. Okay, you want to build a house, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. I thought, oh, it was horrible. It was awful until the day I told my boss, I was like, he's like 30 minutes early, and I'm like, I'm gonna just take off a little early then. He didn't care. He's like, fine, you're done today, good. I get in my car, and I'm driving away, and I pick up my phone, and I call a guy who I had worked with who'd left to go start another bank in town, and I said, I don't know what you've got. I can't keep doing what I'm doing. Do you have anything for me? And they called me back. They set up an interview, and that's the last banking job I had, and it was a great blessing. And I think you don't have to be miserable, okay? You don't suffer. You don't have to suffer for Jesus unless you really feel like he's telling you to stay there. Right. But if you don't like the job, quit. Life's too short to be miserable.
Right.
So find something you enjoy.
But while you're there, find a way to live out your calling.
Yeah.
Until you give your 2 weeks, and then you happily part ways.
Yeah. And then, but as you're there, up until the moment you leave, find that purpose for being there. Find that. Why are you there? Mm-hmm. What are you doing there? Why has God placed you there in this moment? And remember, our calling is just like the calling of Jesus, because he's the one we're following. How did he live? We don't know about his, you know, carpentry or stonework or whatever it might be, but we do know that he came and he served. And he gave his life, and that is the same exact call. I talked about it last week in denying yourself. It's the same exact call that we have each and every day when we wake up, is that it doesn't matter where I go spend my 8 to 5, I can still love those that I'm working with, serve them as Christ served, and have opportunities to reflect the kingdom of God and the character of Jesus Christ in everything that I say and do.
Right.
So, you don't have to be stuck and see your job or see your work as just work. You can actually see it beyond work. So, Ryan, why don't you close us out as we pray?
Yeah.